Hello there, everybody. It's me, Gary Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. And you may note we're coming to you at a different time than usual. Kelly, I'm glad to hear from you on this midweek episode.
Yeah, Thursday episode.
We ran into some scheduling issues and couldn't record at our usual time or at our rescheduled time, but still wanted to give you some good Joshi content. So for this episode, we are going to do a Marigold special episode. The only thing we'll be talking about, the one and only thing we'll be talking about this episode, is the first three shows from brand new promotion Marigold.
And we're both wearing collars with tasers on them that activate if we talk about anything else.
That's right. We figured we wanted to get something out, but we have a regular episode in just over a week and didn't want to cannibalize that episode, so we figured it would be fun to talk about Marigold, because it's sort of the talk of the Joshi world. Yeah. And we want to get in on that.
Exactly. Got to get them clicks, got to get them listens.
Kelly, do you have anything else to say to the people before we begin? I didn't do my usual, hey, how are you?
You know, I'm good. I had a good couple of weeks, and now we're here, ready to go. You doing good?
You know, I've been busy. I'm actually recording this episode from a brand new couch.
Ooh.
So I got a couch. My couch was showing its age, assisted by the fact that I had it during the period where everyone was stuck at home for 2 years, and I sat on it for probably 12 hours a day, which really ages something really fast, including myself.
Yeah.
But now we're here. I'm on a new couch. I'm energized and ready to talk about Marigold.
Yeah. And, you know, with how we're doing this at a different hour, where I have my laptop, the sun is hitting it differently than it normally does. And holy shit, the screen and keyboard are dusty as hell.
Oh, that's always revealing when you take a laptop from a dark room to a light room and you're like, whoa, this needs a little bit of cleaning. I know that feeling.
Like, how have I been using this like this?
But let's get into it. The first ever show, we're going to cover all three shows, but the first ever, the debut show of Dream Star Fighting Marigold from Corkin Hall, entitled Marigold Fields Forever, in front of 1,535 fans. Eventually, I will try and stop saying the name of the promotion so weirdly, but I'm now stuck in a rut and I can't get out of it. But Kelly, What'd you think of the show overall?
I liked it. I thought it was a good time. Honestly, all three shows I thought had a nice breezy quality to them that I have not gotten out of Stardom in quite some time. So that was nice. These I thought were all pleasant watches for the most part.
You know, if we had recorded at our usual time, I was going to talk about to mention that we would have covered Stardom Flashing Champions at some point, a show that I really enjoyed. I guess we're immediately breaking our rule because I'm now talking about Stardom. A show that I very much enjoyed, but was going to talk about the fact that I felt like something was missing from the show. And almost immediately upon watching this show, it was made very obvious what that thing was. And that thing is a really good crowd.
Yeah.
Easily a great crowd, just a great crowd in general.
Really, really good crowd.
Probably the best crowd in Joshi in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. I mean, Tokyo Joshi's had some good crowds, but the difference between going from Flashing Champions to this was like night and day.
Yeah.
And I think it took a lot of this show, I think most of the show, and we'll get into the individual matches, was in large part fine. Mm-hmm. I think what you could probably categorize it. But the crowd really, I think, took up almost every one of these matches.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And made them much more enjoyable. And really, you know, I felt differently about the second two shows because they were more house shows. But for this show, I thought, oh, this is really very exciting, a lot of fun. I really love... I think I've talked about it on the show before. I don't remember for what show or why I mentioned it. I really love the sort of old school people entering before the show and being introduced and standing in the ring. I thought it was fun to do at the top of the orange stairs. I just think that sort of lends the show sort of a little bit more juice when you're like, oh, okay, we're hearing music, they're coming out, the people are cheering. Thought that was really fun. Got to adjust to Mirai's new hair, which I dubbed the New York Knicks hair, that she was sporting.
Yeah.
Supporting the New York Knicks, sorry for her. Yeah, I was into it from the jump.
Yeah, we're at a good time. This is Joshi's back, everybody.
The first match of the evening, the first match in the history of Marigold, was a singles match, a passion injection match, one of Kelly's favorite types of matches.
Yep.
And it was Nanai Takahashi defeating the newly dubbed Victoria Yuzuki in 14 minutes and 15 seconds. The Wrestling Observer, which ranked every one of these matches, went 3.5 stars on this one. Kelly, what did you think of this first ever match?
I was just a slight bit below the Observer. I went 3.25. This was a passion injection that I did not hate. It was solid, I thought. I was injected with a bit of passion myself. I think the only thing that brought it down for me was that in the back half of the match, Yuzuki was clearly gassed. And, I mean, Nanae did beat the hell out of her, so I'm not entirely surprised, but that definitely brought it down for me.
I really enjoyed it. I think it did a good job. I wrote fine little match in my notes. I thought it did a good job sort of establishing Victoria as sort of this feisty rookie. I think one thing the show overall in general did very well was to establish, you know, not overly, but sort of establish everyone in the pecking order of the company, sort of define who everyone is. And I thought that this was the first one. to get Yuzuki in there and saying, oh, she's very talented, you know, getting this singles match with Nanae, but obviously not at that level quite yet. So I enjoyed it. I didn't put a star rating, so I probably thought it was 3 stars or maybe 3 1/4. But a fun sort of introduction. Nanae kicking the shit out of her at the end, out of Victoria at the end, made me laugh. A good start to the show and a good start to the company.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was another singles match. It was Miku Aono defeating Nao Ishikawa in 8 minutes and 55 seconds. The Wrestling Observer went 3 1/4 stars. I was a little bit above that because I went 3.5 stars. And I was sort of surprised that I thought this was really good. It was hard-hitting. You know, surprised me. Love the Styles Clash. Always love a Styles Clash, especially one that doesn't break the person's neck who's taking it, which I always feel will happen when AJ Styles isn't giving it, just because people, like, no one really does it that often.
No.
And I just really enjoyed it. These are two people who I've seen before, so I also had that familiarity, although I haven't seen them that much recently. But I thought they went out and really delivered, especially considering I think you probably could generalize that some of this sort of middle of the Marigold roster has sort of been thought of as, you know, a lot of actress girls, people coming over. So I think a lot of it has sort of centered around, you know, these people are not or were not, quote unquote, technically wrestlers, you know. You can debate that. So you sort of had, okay, you've got the rookie, you've got the people at the top, you've got, you know, Sari coming in. And so you sort of had a lot of undefined people. And I thought both of these, Miku and Nao, did a really good job here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one too. I liked that it kind of had a more personal feeling to it. And it was, they were both going pretty hard. Nao Ishikawa is weird to me in that, like, I don't think she's a bad wrestler, and I think she's got very good in-ring instincts. But there is, like, a sloppiness to nearly everything she does where it's just, like, her body doesn't do what she wants it to do. And it's just a little awkwardness to everything. And I don't know if that's something that will just improve with time or if it's just that physically she isn't as up to it as a lot of other wrestlers would be, but like I think it kind of worked here just for the kind of more sloppy violent nature of the match. So I thought it was good here, but I don't know how it'll work in the future with other stuff. So she's one where I don't see her going very high up in the company. She's definitely going to be lower mid card at best, but I thought they both did a really good job here.
Well, and I think that, not to look ahead, but the other shows sort of also established her sort of lower in the pecking order.
Yeah.
So I think that's certainly probably what's going to happen, at least to start. I also will say, Kelly, I don't know how I don't know if how you watch is correct, but I did watch with the English commentary.
I did, yes.
Which was Stuart Fulton and Sonny. And I thought they did a very good job of sort of laying out the sort of basic stories of mm-hmm. these matches. You know, obviously the first one sort of, you know, a rookie going up against a veteran. But they had the story here of now wanting to be on the poster, not being on the poster, and sort of how that plays in. And I thought they really did a good job up and down the card of getting over the stories in the ring, maybe sort of the background of some of these things, explaining how it was happening without seeming like they were just sort of like info dumping stuff. So I thought they did very well. I hope that obviously they're not going to have English commentary for every show. They didn't have them for the house shows, but I hope that they certainly come back for the bigger shows at least, because I thought they did a very good job.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And stuff like that, just like saying, hey, here's the story, that's pretty necessary for breaking into the English audience. So I think that is a big help in that.
There was one moment, and I have to bring it up because it did make me laugh. I don't remember what match it was in, but Sonny was describing, they were talking about the titles, you know, because they've introduced the two titles, the you know, red belt and white belt again. And Sonny was talking about, oh, we're also going to have a, you know, lower weight belt, but we're also going to have tag team belts. And he said something like, oh, Tokyo Sports last week announced that the Twin Star belts will be the tag team belts, or whatever he was saying. He was saying, though, you know, Tokyo Sports had reported last week that the Twin Star belts will be the tag team belts in the future. And Stewart replied saying, well, folks, you heard it here first. And all I could think was, no, he's deliberately telling you that you did not hear it here first. You heard it in Tokyo Sports. Which did make me, that did make me laugh.
You heard it here about the Tokyo Sports report first. There.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. You heard someone describe the Tokyo Sports report here first. so that did make me laugh, but I have to, you know, shout them out, 'cause I thought they did a very good job of explaining everything and everyone.
Yeah, my favorite commentary moment was actually in our next match, where Mirai was using the Iron Claw on Chiaki, and Stuart Fulton goes, "She's gonna twist her melon."
Wow, that was a good accent.
Thank you.
I didn't know you did accents.
Oh, I bust them out every now and then.
And speaking of the next match was another singles match, the last singles match of the evening. Mirai defeating Chiaki in 11 minutes and 30 seconds. The Wrestling Observer went 3 1/4. Kelly, what'd you have it?
I am a fair bit lower. I went 2.5. This one did not grab me in the way I was hoping it would. I don't think that Mirai and Chiaki had very good chemistry at all. There was a handful of times they were definitely not on the same page. There was a bit where Mirai almost spiked Chiaki directly on her head with that Death Valley driver. So overall, I just thought they were not on the same page. And it really hurt the match for me, and I was hoping for a lot out of this one. It seemed like it was going to deliver, and sadly, I don't think it did. So, yeah, I went 2.5.
You're never on the same page when you're getting your melon twisted, though.
Never.
Never. Well, I was pretty close to the Observer. I went 3.5 stars. I thought it was a lot of fun. You know, I wrote in my notes, maybe I just like hearing a crowd react strongly to a match, and I was just like, woo, this is good. Mirai, I have to say, looks noticeably smaller.
Yes, they even talked about her slimming down.
Looked great, did a random cool flip at some point in this match, and this was really, anyone who has listened to many episodes of this podcast knows sort of our feelings on Mirai. I thought she looked really good here. I sort of had the thought of, you know, this is sort of what I was thinking of her when she was in Tokyo Joshi, sort of as this exciting wrestler. I think getting onto a new roster where she isn't just like one of, you know, she's like, I'm a power fighter, and also on this roster is Micah, and also on this roster is Shuri. Like, I'm the same as these five other people. Mm-hmm. Is going to be really helpful. I also did note Mirai dropping Chiaki on her head with the Miramare, which I enjoyed. But yeah, I also think at this point I was sort of, you know, floating on like, hey, I'm having a good time. I also like this. Sure, 3.5. You know, I don't think I think it's a overall worthwhile show watching just because it's a brand new promotion.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And things like that. If it were just sort of a regular show and this were year 3, I don't know that I would say, hey, watch this match. But I think overall, like some of the other matches on the card, it was fun, really helped by, you know, having a great crowd that seemed excited for almost everything.
Mm-hmm, for sure. That definitely, that always kind of just bolsters a show and it helps the vibes.
The next match, not to spoil it, but a match that may tear apart the Jumping Bomb Audio crew here. Not tear apart. That's far over dramatic as to what's going to happen here. But Mai Sakurai and Zeta Steel went to a 15-minute time limit draw with Myla Grace and Nagisa Nosaki. The Wrestling Observer went 2 stars, and I should say the cage match rating is a 3.92. And I will say my first note was I watched the show, I think, 2 days after it aired, maybe one day, and I had heard, one of the only things I had heard was this match was horrible. Like, almost everything I'd seen was like, whoop, very bad. But I thought it was, I didn't think it was good, but I thought it was fine. I think I was prepared for like a match where I would be like, oh my God, cover your eyes. This is so embarrassing. And I didn't really get that. I mean, the time limit draw, why?
Yeah, that is the most egregious part of this.
But to me, it's not the wrestler's fault unless, you know, Myla Grace is backstage big timing Rossi saying, I'm not taking a pin. You know,
yeah, we're going Zeta Steel's saying, yeah, that doesn't work for me, brother.
We're going to a time limit draw, brother. You know, I think that Zeta and Myla are works in progress. And I think a big thing is Mai Sakurai, you know, got a lot of fans in Stardom. She was sort of getting people behind her, especially with this character of the aristocratic snob, however you want to call it. But she's now going from a company where almost in every match she was in, she was working with people who were X times better than her and could cover, to a promotion where that is not the case.
Yeah.
You know, now in a match where she's probably the second best worker in the match. And so it's not a thing where you're just like, oh, she's fine. It's now like, oh, she has to hold up her end of the bargain. I liked Myla Grace's energy. She had that going for her. Mm-hmm. But Kelly, I do know what you thought of this match. So tell the people what you thought.
I gave this a dud. My notes start with saying, you live by the Rossi Gaijins, you die by the Rossi Gaijins. I thought this was a terrible match. It kind of killed the crowd. They were not into this at all. No one had good chemistry. It made the good wrestlers look like amateurs. Like, it was just all around a disaster, I thought. And then it went to the 15-minute time limit draw, which makes it the second longest match on the show, which is fucking insane. Bad match.
Yeah, the time limit draw really made no sense. I wish, you know, she's a little bit of a controversial figure, but I like Nagisa Nosaki. I think she's very good. I think she's mm-hmm. a good pickup here to sort of be a nice hand in the middle of the card who you don't really have to do anything with. But saddling her with this match was like, huh. You're asking a lot and then saying, oh, go to a time limit draw. Why?
Yeah.
Like, I would love to hear one thing that's like, why did they have to go to a time limit draw beyond, hey, we have some time, might as well.
It's like, well, we can't beat Zeta Steel and Myla Grace. Can't have her take a pin.
So, I mean, this easily was the worst thing on the show.
This is the worst thing of all three shows by far.
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly because of the time limit, because it was so long.
Yes, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we will move on to the semi-main event. Chika Goto and Koke Amore defeating Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki in 12 minutes and 30 seconds. Wrestling Observer gave it 3 stars. Kelly, what did you give it?
I went 3 3/4. I think this was pretty great and really got the show back on track. Like, just a good hard-hitting match, introduced a bunch of new faces to the people who were just Stardom fans. And like, it kind of shows, like, Koki is definitely going to be one of the pillars, I suppose, of this company. Like, they are definitely going to build around her. She's still got to work on stuff. She's still a little raw in places, but, you know, she's still fairly inexperienced. But she's definitely got that it factor, and I think they're right for building around her. Yeah, overall, I just thought this was great. This is a tremendous semi-main, and like I said, it really got the show back on track. If they had laid an egg, this could have just sunk the rest of the show.
Yeah, I think it was a really solid. I was lower than you. I was probably closer to that 3 stars from the Observer, but I thought it was a very solid match. I thought, you know, these are most of the people where they're technically, quote unquote, making their wrestling debut, even though they're not really making their wrestling debut.
Yeah, I don't like that. Like, to me, that just feels like it's, I guess, denigrating what they've done before. And it's like, oh, that
But that's what Actress Girl says. Actress yeah. Girl says it's not wrestling.
That's so fucking weird.
So that's not a Marigold thing to be like, oh, what you did before.
Oh yeah,
wrestling.
I know that.
Or Actress Girl says this is not wrestling.
That's so weird. Like, I just don't get that. And like, I would have a hard time saying something like that just because it's like, look, they put in the work, they busted their asses, they had wrestling matches, they are wrestlers.
Yes, although I would probably say that what they're going to be doing now, the things that they'll be required to do are going to be very different than what they were doing 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah.
And so sorry, I just got very distracted by one of the cage match reviews. I think that... you know, another great thing, I talked about establishing who these people are, sort of the storylines. I think they also in one show very quickly established the hierarchy of the company, in that if I were to ask you, Kelly, okay, let's just make up the fact that for the title, there's going to be a tournament with everyone in the company in it. Let's just say. Who would be the final four of the tournament? And I think if we went away from each other and wrote down 4 names, I think we would come back with the same 4 names.
Mai Sakurai, Zeta Skill, Myla Grace, Nagisa Nozaki.
That's why they went to the time limit draw. They're so good.
Yep.
They can't be beaten. But I think that takes skill to, in one show, say, okay, here are the people you got to watch out for. And to know that is great. Some of that comes down to that the wrestlers, especially someone we'll talk about in 1 second, really popped out. But I think that's really good. It means you don't have to do any of that. You know, you still have to keep them going. But I think they did that work very fast, and now you can move into that place. And even though it seems obvious, you know, it seems obvious for a good reason, because they've stuck out.
When wrestling is at its best, it's logical. Like, you'd look at results and you're like, yep, that all makes sense. I mean, as much as people like, oh, I want to be surprised, you know, you need swerves and stuff. You don't.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club, Man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, you know, I know you know, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you don't have zero, you have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing slab packs from arenaclub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy slab packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to, why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club slab packs. They're better than those mystery packs because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, you get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club slab packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided, an explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? Whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
So, yes, but now, speaking of people who popped, we are at the main event. It was a tag team match, Seri and Bozilla.
Bozilla.
I feel like I should hit the Blue Oyster Cult Godzilla every time I say her name, except replace Godzilla with Bozilla. Seri and Bozilla defeating Julia and Utami in 28 minutes and 6 seconds. The Wrestling Observer went 4.5 stars. Kelly, I believe you went higher than that.
No, I was also 4.5.
Oh, I thought, who did I see went higher than that? I don't know. I thought it was you, but you went 4.5.
Oh, man. God damn. Oh, so I just clicked on her cage match. Bozilla is only 20?
Oh, yeah, she's very young.
Insane. Wow. Well, she's definitely going on my Voices of Wrestling 30 for 30 ballot. 30 under 30.
Yeah, 30 for 30 is the ESPN
sports
documentary series. Which maybe Bozilla will have one of those one day.
Who knows, yeah.
But not yet. But what did you think of the match?
I loved it. I thought this was tremendous. It felt like a big deal. Like that's the best compliment I can pay to it. It felt like a huge match. It felt important. Like Bozilla just going out there and immediately feeling like, oh, okay, she's a star. There's something there. She is one hell of a find. I don't know. I want to know who tracked her down. Like, who scouted her? Was it Rossi? Like, does he have feelers out there? Like, I would love to know where they found her. Like, who was the one that was like, hey, she needs to be in our company. And like, she's not a finished product by any means, but like, all the potential in the world. Like, just goddamn, blew everyone away in this match. The intensity of this match, just off the charts. The crowd was going nuts for the whole match. Sari and Julia had incredible exchanges where they beat the shit out of each other. Everyone worked super snug and just awesome action throughout. Like, this is exactly the kind of match this show needed for the main event. Just fucking awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. I was slightly below. I was 4.25, but still really enjoyed it. I mean, Bozilla obviously stood out, as she did with most people. Agree with you. She had some sort of awkward moments, but I just sort of enjoyed the presence and her, like, randomly mean mugging, wandering around the ring.
Yes.
which I thought was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you know, sort of the obvious but less talked about part was, and sadly, Julia getting injured in this match, breaking her wrist. Is that what happened?
Yes. I wonder, was it in the one forearm she threw after she took off her wrist guard?
I think it may have been. but an amazing performance by Sari, and she and Julia clearly... they were building to that singles match, but they were just killing each other, especially late with the suplexes they were hitting. And it was just crazy. I think Sari, you know, depending on the, I think the only thing it really depends on is the volume that she can get to. But I think she's currently, Kelly, unless you can think of someone else, running away with Joshi Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've got no one ahead of her at the moment.
Just great. Has such an intensity that is really exciting to watch. So that combined with, you know, this huge, humongous woman wandering around the ring, you know, beating people up, stopping them on the Irish whips. I just thought it was great. A great end to the show and just a really fun match to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just tremendous cap to this match. Like, it was perfect. Like, you couldn't have booked a better opening show main event.
So that was the debut show, but it was not the only show that Marigold has had. They've had two more shows, both on the 26th of May. As part of the opening wars, one was at noon, one was at night. They were both at Shinkiba First Ring. The first show, the noon show, was in front of 284 fans. And Kelly, what'd you think of this first of two shows on the 26th?
I thought it was a really fun show. The crowd was super hot throughout, and I thought they did a good job. Especially, it didn't feel like people were working the first of two shows in that day, you know? Like, it was just, everyone was working really hard. And, like, I have a weird comparison that, for whatever reason, popped up in my head during this show. Do you remember, like, I think it was 2017, 2018, when Noah started doing Noah the Reborn for their, like, reboot?
Vaguely.
And, like, they just told everyone, yeah, just go out there and fucking kill each other in every match. And they did, and everyone beat the shit out of each other constantly. It was awesome. That's what this reminds me of. Like, I feel like everyone's working really stiff, and everyone's working really hard to get this company over. And it's just, it's a very, vibrant? I don't know. It just feels different than everything else right now to me.
So let's dive into it. This show began with a singles match, Koke Amore defeating Nao Ishikawa in 9 minutes. This was one of those matches I was talking about earlier, sort of establishing Nao sort of further down the card, maybe, you know, not a jobber to the stars is probably not the right term, but you know, I think someone who is at least credible or has some sort of character that people can defeat. You know, obviously turning this show on after watching the Corrigan Hall show, is quite a bit less energy in the crowd, which I think is natural going from, you know, a debut show with the hottest crowd to this. But still thought it was fine. And I think, you know, these shows are good for figuring out some of these, you know, some of the other, obviously they're going to be pushing Koke Amore, but figuring out people like, you know, Chiaki and Misa and Natsumi, sort of what they're going to do, where they're going to end up, because they feel like the least defined out of everyone. I think most of these other matches sort of had a very clear perspective. But that was one thing I sort of took away from this show and from both shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this, I thought the opener was good. You know, just gets Koki a singles win and kind of establishes now is the, like you said, the jobber to the stars, essentially.
The next match was another singles match. The two Gaijin from the famed time limit draw match facing off against each other here. Myla Grace defeating Zeta Steel in 7 minutes and 27 seconds. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this match?
I thought this was all right. I didn't think they were that bad here. I think it was just a bad opening night jitters, maybe. I feel like Zeta Steel is like better as a small room wrestler, almost. Like, I don't know. I think she has a bit of charisma there that just translates better to a smaller room. And I don't mean that as like an insult or anything.
Oh, I didn't even realize. Now I'm looking at Zeta Steel's cage match profile, and I didn't realize that she... I guess I didn't realize where she works, because she's had a number of matches in CZW.
Oh, yeah.
And MLW, and also Beyond. That's interesting. But I think I was sort of on a similar page than you. My big note was, you know, these are not going to be the top talents in this promotion by any stretch. But in this match, they had enough interesting stuff here and there to sort of keep me entertained. I mean, Myla hit that side suplex on Zeta near the end of the match, which I thought looked really great. So it was, you know, it's sort of one of those like, oh, this is interesting enough. And, you know, really reminds me of that. We've talked about it on the show, of the sort of that 2015, 2016 Stardom period, where I think sort of part of the fun was just sort of seeing these people that you would probably never watch anywhere else, you know, and come in, and some of them were great and some of them were less great or maybe less entertaining to you. Some people really didn't like that about that era of Stardom and really were annoyed with that. But I sort of find it part of the charm of this sort of Joshi, promotion, which I think largely went away, obviously during COVID, but also with Bushiroad buying Stardom. I think that sort of aspect, you know, they had Mariah May, but she sort of came in as an established, you know, oh, she's in a unit, she's doing this. And it wasn't sort of this, oh, hey, here's two workers we have. You know, I don't know if they're going to stick around for, you know, a month or however long they're going to stick around. They may disappear and never come back. I don't know.
And that was kind of the fun of that 2016-ish era of Stardom. People would show up and then they'd go away. Like, you know, that sometimes that's fun. I like having just a rotating outside group.
So yeah, I think not a super in-ring great match, but I was entertained enough.
Mm-hmm. I did. So I was just looking at Myla Grace's cage match, and I like that on the commentary on the first night, they're putting over her being in NXT UK. She had like 6 televised matches and she lost all of them.
Oh yeah, here it is. She defeated Lizzie Evo in a dark match of NXT UK 172.
Yeah, it's a dark match. She only had televised losses. That's it.
She defeated Nina Samuels. Now, that is a name I do know. Yeah. Well, they weren't lying. She was there.
She was there.
They didn't say she was the most victorious wrestler in NXT UK history. Although they probably could have, with the number of people that watched that promotion, no one would have known.
Yeah, you can just make shit up.
Yeah. So the next match was a three-way match. Bozilla defeating Utami and Victoria Yuzuki in 9 minutes and 42 seconds. My only note that I wrote down, at least for this match, was yes, Bozilla.
She is the motherfucking Bozilla.
Yes. Oh, I did love the promo at the end. But I'm like, she should cut out the part about what's her line? Something size, Matt, you know.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like, oh, size does matter or something. Yeah. I'm like, no, you should cut that. And you should just get on the mic and go, I'm the motherfucking Bozilla.
Yeah, that's it. Put that on a shirt.
Yeah, because I'm like, because that is really good. I really like this, as, you know, it wasn't Bozilla sort of winning a handicap match, which I think would have made Utami and Yuzuki look sort of bad, but they were doing a lot of teaming up. So it felt like in the end, like Bozilla did overcome the odds without really overcoming the odds in that way. So I thought it was still a good job to establish Bozilla as sort of a monster without having her just like steamroll people. So I liked it.
Yeah, it does feel at times in this promotion that it is like the Stardom wrestlers versus everyone else.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they are sort of in a different, you know, they're coming from a different background, but that background is also like, oh, these are the, you know, really having less to do with what Actress Girls is or isn't, but it feels much more like they're like, oh yeah, these are the wrestlers.
Yeah.
In the promotion are, you know, Mirai or Julia, although now she's injured. You know, it's like, oh, these are the actual, like, we're going to go in there and we're going to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
People. As opposed to the rest, which are like, hey, we're out here to see what happens when we wrestle.
And then a very small percentage is also there to Bozilla.
Exactly. Who's in her own category.
Yeah.
But any thoughts on this match, Kelly?
It was good. I don't really have any big thoughts. I somehow managed to take zero notes on it. So I remember enjoying it, but I don't have anything like very specific that jumped out at me besides I am the motherfucking Bozilla.
You should have taken notes like I did, like the words, yes, Bozilla. The semi-main was a tag team match, Miku Aono and Natsumi Shozuki defeating Chiaki and Misa Matsui in 13 minutes and 22 seconds. This was the match I didn't have any notes on. Kelly, what'd you think?
I thought this rocked. I went 3 3/4. This was the match that really made me think, like, damn, they are not leaving anything in the tank for later tonight. Like, they all worked super hard, and it felt like they have something to go out there and prove, and they're doing it. So yeah, this rocked. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I didn't feel as strongly as you did. You know, I think also there's sort of natural, you know, I have seen Miku wrestle. I have seen Misa Matsui wrestle a bit. But probably, again, we're talking about, oh, the Stardom people or some of these other people. I'm like, oh, I've seen you before. I know you well. So I maybe have a little bit more connection there. So when, you know, this wrestling, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good. But I don't really have anything to say because I'm still sort of figuring out who these people are, especially like who they are within the realm of Marigold.
Yeah.
And then the main event of this show was another tag team match. Nagisa Nozaki rewarded for her opening night shackling, teamed with Seri to defeat Mai Sakurai and Mirai in 16 minutes and 31 seconds. I really like this, but you really got to note, I talked about it in the Cork and Hall show, but the sheer difference between Seri and Mai Sakurai.
Yeah, I felt like Mai Sakurai worked really hard in this match to kind of, I think, A, she was fired up after her bad match the previous night, maybe, and B, just be like, oh shit, I am against Sari, I need to do my best, or she's gonna beat my ass even worse.
So, but a good cap to this show. Nothing blow away for me, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was 3 3/4 on this one too. So if you only have a bit of time, just watch the top two on this show. But even then, it was a quick watch. It was a nice breezy show.
Yeah, both of the Shinkiba shows were, you know, especially if you sort of skip the opening announcements and introductions, were like an hour and 20 minutes long.
Yeah, like just. I love shows like this.
Well, you love shows like this. They had another one in the evening back at Shinkiba First Ring. Cage Match doesn't have the attendance, but I'm assuming it was probably around the same 200 some people.
Yeah, I would assume it's probably exactly the same, if not just like one or two off.
And that show started off Misa Matsui defeating Nao Ishikawa in 8 minutes and 53 seconds. This is when it really solidified to me that Nao is sort of in that position of, you know, getting some focus, but is going to lose matches and get some of these other people over. Yeah,
this was really good. This is a great opener. I went 3.5 on this. I thought they both worked really hard. They kind of just went for broke. A lot of good near falls that I was not expecting out of the opener, and some that I bid on. I think this was the best that Nao Ishikawa looked out of the three shows. But I think, unfortunately, she got hurt in this match and is out for a little while.
Well, we will follow up on that. Lots of injuries early on.
Yeah.
In this company.
And that might just go to how hard everyone's working.
But we will see, because they don't have a huge roster, especially if the Americans head off at any point.
You know, if they do, like if Myla Grace and Zeta Steel are just gone and not coming back, you gotta have Bozilla just crush them in a 2-on-1 handicap match.
The next match was a singles match. Mai Sakurai getting a singles victory, defeating Myla Grace in 7 minutes and 38 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of this match?
I have no notes. I do not recall this match at all.
I also have no notes. You know, I think also some of this was, you know, you sort of look at the card here, you know, there's no Seri. This one feels the most like a house show.
Yeah.
You know, the first house show sort of felt like, oh, we still have Seri. Whatever. This one felt most like, okay, people are just going to go out here. They're going to wrestle. The wrestling is not going to be particularly memorable, but it's going to sort of line up where the people are in the company. So I think getting my victory was good because she hadn't won yet. Mm-hmm. And I think even though she's sort of lower on the pecking order, I think she still is going to be treated a little bit higher than some of these people. So getting her a victory is good.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I do remember her calling Myla Grace a peasant after the match.
Very weird here, because Myla Grace losing and the following match, Zeta Steel losing. So clearly they don't have that much of a problem with taking a pin. the next match, Miku Aono defeating Zeta Steel in 8 minutes. This is a match I have no notes on, so I'll send it to Kelly.
I'm gonna not catch that pass, and I'm just gonna let it sail past me, because guess what? I also have zero notes and zero recollection of this match.
Yes, this was a point, I will say, you know, three shows on largely, I mean, almost exactly the same people. And some of it sort of was reestablishing, especially the semi-main event, tag team match, Bozilla and Nagisa Nosaki defeating Chiaki and Mirai in 15 minutes and 39 seconds. Again, I think another establishment of Bozilla. Sort of some of this is, in a way, covering the same ground. I think we're sort of in part one. I mean, we're clearly in part one of the company, but we're going to lead up to the first big show. And I think some of these, especially the house shows, are just going to be like, hey, here's the establishment of this. And one big part of that is Bozilla.
Yeah. I thought Bozilla continued to impress here. I thought she looked really good selling, because that was something we didn't see a ton of in the previous matches. So I thought she did really well with that. And this is just a fun hoss match. I want 3.5 stars on it.
And the main event of the show was a tag team match, just like the previous two shows. Koke Amore and Utami defeating Natsumi Shozuki and Victoria Yuzuki in 15 minutes and 46 seconds. A good establishment to sort of, you know, Koke clearly in focus in the first two shows, but not at the top. Get her at the top of the card. And sort of establish her a bit more, which I thought this did. And also good to sort of get Victoria Yuzuki up at the top of the card as well, even though she's going to lose, to sort of establish her as, you know, worthy to be in that spot, even though she's not winning.
Yeah, I thought Koki and Utami should be a team going forward. Like, they, I don't know if you want to make them like the tag team champions or whatever, but I think they should be a recurring team going forward, because I think Koki could learn a lot from Utami. Just, they have the same kind of like swagger to them, so it's just like, I feel like they're very similar in terms of what kind of wrestler they are, and just Utami could be a really good mentor for her. So I enjoyed their work here as a team. I don't think this match was like amazing or anything. I went 3.5 on it. It was a solid main event, but a definite step down from the other two main events of the first two shows. But overall, good match.
I also think two pretty solid house shows, considering that, you know, Julie was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And she was there. You know, she came out before both shows and she spoke to the crowd, but you can imagine she would have been plugged in here and, you know, really helped, wasn't there. And I still think the shows were pretty solid. So a good showing all around, and welcome Mary Gold to the land of Joshi pro wrestling.
Yeah. I'm happy they're here,
and we'll see what comes next. But that is all for us. As we said, we're Mary Gold only for this very special episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will be back in just over a week's time, and we will be back to normal covering all of the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. But Kelly, even though this is an odd episode, I will still throw it to you for your Kelly's Corner.
So last Sunday, when we would have normally been recording our show, I went to go see Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. And guess what? It fucking ruled. I initially was not very excited about this movie because I thought the first like trailer or two that came out for it looked real bad, and including a lot of really bad looking CGI. But it looks like they really cleaned up all that stuff, and the finished product for the movie is fantastic. It's 2.5 hours, and I will say it does feel like that. But it's like a long movie that feels earned, where you're just like, yeah, of course, it has to be this long. There's always something happening. Like, they packed so much stuff into this movie. And just George Miller really knows how to film crazy ass car sequences, and they're always cool. So if you liked any of the Mad Max movies, especially Fury Road, definitely go see Furiosa. Highly recommended.
Well, there you have it, the usual Kelly's Corner, and that will bring this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio to a close. But we will see you in just over a week for the very next episode. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.